Today's reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River and wanted John to baptize him. But John tried to stop him, saying, "Why do you come to me to be baptized? I need to be baptized by you." Jesus answered, "Let it be this way for now. We should do all things that are God's will." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven opened, and he saw God's Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and I am very pleased with him." The word of God for the people of God.
One of the mothers in the faith in my life entered life eternal this past week. Her name was Joyce Payne. Joyce was married to the Reverend Bob Payne, who is a contemporary of Bob and Megan Simpson in the United Methodist Church. And Bob was pastor of the Hillsdale Methodist Church, where I was baptized as an infant. When he died a few years ago, one of the great gifts that Joyce gave to me was one of Bob's stoles. I don't know if Bob was wearing this when I was baptized as an infant, but I like to think he was, because it was at that baptism where, quite unbeknown to me, I was ushered into the life of faith. I was welcomed into the family. I was adopted by God and by God's people. Being adopted into the Christian family is something that is a really significant understanding of baptism. And those of you who know what it is to be adopted, those of you who know what it is to adopt, are a little bit further ahead of the rest of us in the spiritual life and in understanding baptism, because you know how God works in creating love within for someone who has been adopted into your family. Those of you who have been adopted, you know what it is to be loved into being by adopted families. That kind of wisdom is really helpful when we try to get our minds around the gift of baptism. When we're baptized, I presume many of us in the mainline church were baptized as infants, but some of you were baptized as adult believers. When we were baptized, whether we were aware or not, God placed a gift within us that sometimes we unwrap, but very often we leave unwrapped for some reason. It's kind of like a spiritual operating system that has been installed. I don't know about you. I'm not a really tech-savvy person, but I know that on my computer, it has things that I could use that I don't use. I know that there are systems that would help do various things that I have no understanding of. Am I alone in that? Okay. It's the same with our baptism. God has put an operating system in us waiting for us to turn it on, hoping to show us that this operating system will help us with everything that we do and help us with every relationship we have. But do we ever turn it on? Do we ever unwrap the gift, or do we unwrap it just a little bit and say, "Well, that's nice, but I'll just save that and look at it"? The gift of our baptism is meant to be unwrapped in every season of our lives, and there are seasons we go through where we need that gift more and more. The gift holds the key to peace in our lives. The gift of our baptism holds the key to inner contentment. Our baptism holds the key to unlock the door to joy. And God, for some reason, has quietly installed that, quietly given us that gift, and does not insist that we open it up, does not insist that we turn it on. God, for some reason, patiently waits until an opportune time when we are open to that and we get in touch with our need for peace and inner contentment and joy, what Jesus referred to as the pearl of great price, even the kingdom of God that Jesus said is within us. And that operating system, that gift, is more easily discovered in the midst of a community of faith with brothers and sisters in Christ, because sometimes we can help each other turn on the operating system through the way that we love each other, through the way that we forgive each other, through the way that we articulate the mystery of God and the mystery of how God works in our lives. When we can share that with one another, we are beginning to unpack the gift, beginning to use the operating system. And to be in a community of faith is unlike anything else in the world. I don't know anybody in the world who starts the journey by saying, "Welcome, we're going to surround you with a community of love and forgiveness." That's what we do. Every time we baptize a little one, every time we confirm someone who's affirming their baptism, we're basically saying to you, we surround you with a community of love and forgiveness. I don't know anybody else in the world that does that. That's the air we breathe. That's the value system that we're incorporated into. And we're also incorporated into the very baptism of Christ himself. We're brought into the waters of Christ's baptism. We're brought into the Holy Spirit, which descends on Christ and descends on us. We're brought into the voice that says, "You're my beloved son, you're my beloved daughter, with whom I'm well pleased." We're baptized into that. And when we can stand on that ground, the storms of life will not bowl us over, and we will be able to remain grounded in the midst of the complexity that life is. Jesus' baptism is really a remarkable thing. You know, some people say, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Wasn't he sinless? Jesus chose to go down to the river where John was baptizing people who publicly were coming to him and saying, "I've sinned, I need forgiveness." And Jesus was saying, "I'm with these people. I'm with them." Whether Jesus was sinless or not, he's saying to the public who's gathered there, this was not a private meeting in the night with John the Baptist, this was a public display. And he said, "I want to be with the people who are honest, who can say, I've blown it, I've messed up, my life is in shambles, and I need a new start, and I need forgiveness." It's Jesus' way of saying, don't be afraid of your sins. Name them, claim them, be honest about them, because our sins and our sinfulness can be the trapdoor into grace. It can be the secret entrance into knowing God's love. So Jesus is saying to the people being baptized then, don't worry about your sins. It is great what you're doing. You're acknowledging it. You're being honest. You're claiming it, and you're in touch with the need for a new start. Have you ever been in need of a new start? Sometimes we, in our relationships, get to a place where we need a new beginning, a fresh start, a cleaning of the slate. Sometimes in the life of a church, we need a fresh start. We need a clean slate where we can all publicly say, yes, we've blown it. We've made mistakes. None of us are perfect. And we need God's forgiveness. A reaffirmation of baptism can be such an opportunity to be washed clean, to be transformed, to put ourselves in the river of God, in the flow of God. This week, I spent just a few minutes in here listening for what God might want us to engage today. And I was drawn to this visual that Tom put up here. Isn't this magnificent? You can't see it from some areas, but this is a three-dimensional altar. And I was moved by the image of this water, which is moving water, living water, rushing water. Now, so many of us were baptized into still water. It's all of God. God leadeth me beside the still waters. But Jesus also spoke of living waters, and he was baptized into a river. How many of you are baptized into a river? Any of you? You can rest assured we won't be doing that today. But let me tell you a story about one of my spiritual experiences on the Delaware River. A church that I once served went on a tubing trip. Have any of you been tubing? You have, Adam. Tubing is very unlike kayaking or canoeing, where you actually have a paddle, and you, in a kayak or canoe, you can go where you want to go, give or take how the current is moving. In a tube, a bus takes you upriver, you walk down to the banks, you put the tube behind you, and you fall into the river. And once you come bobbing up and floating, you realize you're going to be going wherever the river wants to take you. You can't get to the end destination very quickly. You get there when you get there. And when you get there, the bus will pick you up and bring you back to where you started. Well, one of the things we discovered was how hard it is to be patient. We can't speed up the journey as much as we wanted to at some points. And once you relax into letting the current of the Delaware River take you, it's much more enjoyable. In fact, once you get used to the patience of letting the current take you where it's going to take you, you look up and you see the mountains. And we saw eagles flying overhead, and it was magnificent. And we began to see God's handiwork. Nature is God's first language. Did you know that? Jesus was God's second language. Nature was God's first language. And to see the language of God in all of nature was just tremendous. We also discovered that it's sometimes more fun when you link your feet or your hands with one another in their tubes, and you can have a little community floating down the river. Now, if you're not paying attention, sometimes the current can take you to the banks of the river and you're left stranded there. You're left washed up in the mud, and then you have to stand up and walk back to the middle of the river and dip in again so that the current takes you. So what you can do is use your arms like a backstroke to get into the current of the river. And that's about all. If you can get into the current will take you down some of the moving waters, some of the white waters, and that's a whole lot of fun. The spiritual life is similar to tubing. Our invitation is to trust that we're in the flow of God, and that we will get to our destination sooner or later. But when we are intentional about our spiritual practices, when we're intentional about going to church to worship, to study, to be in community, to do the work of God together, to pray every day, when we do that, it's our version of the backstroke that puts us into the current of God, and it keeps us moving in the flow of God. In a few moments, you're going to be invited to come via the center aisle or come however you wish. The choir will probably come through here. And to touch these waters of baptism and to remember your baptism and to remember that you're in the flow. Even when you don't feel like the river's going anywhere, you're in the flow of God. And perhaps by God's grace and through our intentional spiritual disciplines, we might put ourselves more into the current of God's flow. I don't know what your prayer will be today, but it might be, God, help me get in touch with this gift that you've given. Help me to unwrap the gift that is within, that is our baptism, that is God's grace in Jesus. Perhaps your prayer when you come to the water is, help me to trust that I'm in your flow, O God, and that we are going where we need to go. Or perhaps it's a prayer of gratitude for those in your life, your mothers and fathers in the faith, who brought you here, or who brought you into the Christian faith, and who may have brought you to baptism. Maybe your prayer is gratitude for them. But touch the waters however you wish. Some of you may have been raised in the Catholic faith. You might want to make the sign of the cross. Others of you may want to touch the waters and make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Others may want to put your hands in and just run it over your head. You might want to put it on the top of your head where you were maybe baptized. Let the Spirit lead you. But as you come, know that you're standing on holy ground and that God has given each of us a gift and hopes that we'll unwrap it. I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 50, or you can follow along on the back wall for the reaffirmation of our baptismal vows. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. Acknowledge what God is doing for us and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, will you say, I do? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, will you say, I do? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, will you say, I do? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, will you say, I will? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and raising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. With you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Friends, you are invited to come and touch the waters of your baptism. It may be helpful logistically to start in the front and work our way back. Come via the center aisle, touch the waters of your baptism however you wish, and be thankful. I will say to you, remember your baptism and be thankful, to which you can respond however you wish. Come.